and welcome to the My Community Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L. Ikenna Johnson.
And I am your co-host, Jasmine Benjamin, also known as Jazzy.
Hey, Jazzy, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Super fantastic. How about you?
Super fantastic and grateful. I like the way that sounds.
I want to know why you all up in my grill like that, right?
Oh, my goodness. So those of you watching on Facebook may notice the proximity between Jazzy and myself is kind of truncated. I was dealing in the background. The answer to your question, Jazzy, is the technical proficiency of WCPT on today is a little compromised and not working well. So we are improvising.
Improvising. Okay.
What else is on your mind?
Well, the limited power of the President of the United States.
So as you talk closer into the microphone, I've got to ask you. I have no idea. As you make the statement, now mind you, ladies and gentlemen who are watching and listening, yes, we are going to have some technical challenges on today. We can't help it. We'll do our best to get through it. To your point, you want me to believe that you think President Joseph Biden Jr.
Yes.
doesn't have all the power we think he has.
Of course.
Why?
The reason why I say that, because there are two pieces of legislation. One is John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and the next one is Build Back Better.
What about them?
Well, they both are not looking too good right now.
I would like to say you're wrong, but you're not wrong. And the problem is, I want to say we've got folk in the Democratic Party who might not be what they say they are, particularly because both of them do not want to amend the rules to remove the power of the filibuster for those two pieces of legislation. But when it comes to money, they'll do whatever it takes to make sure the money flows correctly. But when it comes to protecting this experiment called democracy, they're not so married to the thought of moving forward. So that is absolutely a problem. And as far as I'm concerned, I verily believe that Joe Manchin from Virginia and I can't remember the Arizona senator's name, but the two of them, I'm just challenged by how they feel this filibuster should be addressed. In fact, it's not so much the filibuster, because both of them purport to be in favor of the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and the Build Back Better Act is the largest piece of infrastructure opportunity for people of color, and parenthetically for white folk who are not part of the top 1%. It helps all of America. And because it's an investment in America, did you know that every time the United States government invests in Americans, I'm not talking about making it easier for rich folk to get better. I'm talking about investing in Americans like you and myself. Right. They generally get $7 to every $1 return on investment. And that is facts. I mean, after all, this is WCPT, 820 AM, where facts matter. But that's a good hand clap, you there. So, listen, this is the third Sunday in the month, and that can only mean that we have with us, for the first time in the year of our Lord, 2022. I don't know what that is. That was something. Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, Madam President, welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Reverend Johnson, and good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning.
Good morning, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, and same to you.
It seems like I haven't
I'm
seen
really
you in an entire year.
To be here with you this morning.
We are absolutely excited to have you with us, And as usual, you know, Jazzy, when Madam President historically joined us over the last several years, she is strong enough and capable of coming solo mio. So there'll be two, three, sometimes five people in studio, and Madam President could hold her own with everyone.
Wow.
However, she has taken to bringing a crew with her.
Okay.
So this is another Sunday where she has come armed with information and with her crew. Madam President, who have you brought with you for our first segment?
Commissioner Bill Lowry, my commissioner, a person who will be involved in a joint committee hearing around violence in our county. And, you know, this is an issue that I hear everywhere that I go in the county, people's concerns about carjackings and shootings and the really disturbing number of murders, both last year and the year before. And our Commissioner Bill Lowry, along with Commissioner Stan Moore and Commissioner Dennis Deere, have put together a joint committee hearing to ask for reports from county actors around this issue. And so it's everyone from our medical examiner to our health and hospital system to our Department of Public Health. But I believe that Commissioner Lowry is with us this morning, and I want to give him an opportunity. I want to give him an opportunity to talk about that hearing as one of the co-sponsors of the resolution that brought it about. And this will be this Wednesday at 10 a.m., and it's available virtually. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I believe Commissioner Lowry is with us, and I want to give him a chance to say some things.
Thank you, Madam President. Reverend Johnson, what's happening?
Man, I know the secret sauce now. Madam President, we have been trying to get Commissioner Bill Lowry on the airways now for almost a solid year. So I want to thank you, Madam President, for bringing the commissioner with you. Now I know how to get it done. Just ask Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle. Could you ask Commissioner Lowry to join us? And apparently it'll happen.
I am very grateful.
You know, Reverend, I've been with you, but it's normally the evening.
Yes, it is.
Such as that, but it's wonderful to be with all of you this morning, and it's also wonderful, as always, to work with my president, Tony Preckwinkle. This is really an exciting time for us, and it's coming out of a difficult time for us. And, you know, this violence has really gripped all of us. And we know a lot of the reasons for it. We know that in our community, we've had just decades and decades of disinvestment. We know we need a long-term plan relative to curbing this violence that we're seeing. But we also have to triage it. We have to find a way to stop this bleeding, and we need to do it together. And I always say effective leadership is rooted in communication, collaboration, and action. And that's exactly what my resolution called for. And as the president said, my resolution, which was unanimously approved last month, is requesting that we at Cook County have a meeting of our separately elected officials and departments to discuss this singular issue of countywide violence. And more importantly, we want to establish what are the anti-violence strategies that are going to be able to really curb this violence that we're all experiencing. So we will have a joint committee meeting. It is set on this coming Wednesday, January 19th. It will start at 10 a.m. And we're going to hear from all of our departments who are touching this issue of violence, as the president said. And it's so important because we've got to find a way to stop the carjacking. We have to find a way to stop the gun violence. And we're seeing it everywhere now, Reverend, as you know. You know, we're seeing this in Avalon Park. We're seeing it in Lincoln Park. We're seeing this downtown. We're seeing it in the Southland. We're seeing it in the city. We're seeing it in the suburbs. So we've got to do something. So what do? We have to collaborate. We have to come together. So what we're going to do with our Wednesday hearing, and again, the hearing will be a joint committee hearing before the Board of Commissioners Health and Hospital Committee, which is chaired by my brother, Commissioner Dennis Deere, and our Criminal Justice Committee, which is chaired by my other brother, Commissioner Stanley Moore. We're going to hear from the Cook County Sheriff's Office. We're going to hear from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, from the Chief Judge's Office, from the Office of the Clerk of the Circuit Court. We're going to hear from the Justice Advisory Council. We're going to hear from Emergency Management and Regional Security. That's a committee I chair. We're going to hear from the Cook County Department of Public Health. We're going to hear from the Cook County, just Cook County Health. And then we're going to hear from the Cook County Public Defender. And relative to each of those departments, our agenda is simple. We want to know what each department is doing in the space of violence to curb the violence that we're seeing permeate throughout Cook County. Then we're going to find out, what are you doing together? How are you collaborating relative to the issue of violence? And then we're going to ask the question, what resources do you need from us as members of the board so you can better do what you're doing on behalf of our communities, on behalf of our people? And after we know that baseline, what are we doing in-house? Then we're going to reach out and try to collaborate with others. We're going to collaborate at the city level. In fact, I've heard from a number of alderpersons already who they know about the resolution, and they say, let's work together. Let's do something here that's going to be impactful. We're going to work with our state electeds. We're going to work with electeds at the federal level. But most importantly, we're going to find a way to work with our community. We're going to work with our community organizations such as Moms Demand Action, the Violence Interrupters, GPAC, MASC, CRED. We're going to work with all types of community organizations and individuals, because, Reverend, at the end of the day, if we're going to turn this into the right, into the, a better direction, it's only going to be because all of us, we have all hands on deck. So that's what we're doing. That's the purpose of this resolution. That will be the purpose of the joint committee meeting, to start off with the baseline at Cook County relative to our own partners. What are we doing relative to this carjacking issue, violent crimes, including gun violence?
I got to tell you, that is such a timely undertaking. And speaking of timely undertakings, this is the space where I ask you to hold with us, stay with us. We've got a couple of questions to ask you, and we need to remind our listening and that which is our viewing audience. This is the My Community Fan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L.E. Kenna Johnson.
And I am your co-host, Jasmine Benjamin, also known as Jazzy.
We'll be right back after this short station break.
Hi, I'm Fritz Kagi, your Cook County Assessor, here with the Assessor's Assessment. I want to talk about what types of appeals are available and how to file them. If your assessment is more than you think your home is worth, you should consider filing an appeal within 30 days after receiving your assessment. The easiest way to do that is to go to cookcountyassessor.com/appeals. You can file an appeal for free in less than 20 minutes. You might have received letters in the mail telling you to hire a lawyer to file a property tax appeal, but don't be fooled. The truth is, you do not need a lawyer to file an appeal, and it's free. A complete guide to filing an assessment appeal is available at cookcountyassessor.com/appeals. And if you're a senior homeowner, make sure you're getting all of your property tax exemptions. You could be leaving money on the table. Go to cookcountyassessor.com to learn more. This has been the Assessor's Assessment. Thanks for listening.
Paid for by Friends Fritz.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
You're listening to WCPT 820, because facts matter.
Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. And I am your co-host, Jazzy.
And I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L.E. Kenneth Johnson. Hey, listen, Commissioner Lowry and Madam President, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Madam President.
You know, I want to express my appreciation to Commissioner Lowry and Commissioner Deer and Commissioner Moore for putting together this hearing and giving us an opportunity to share the work that's being done in the county on this subject. And let me just say, you know, we're looking here at two record years for murders in the city of Chicago, at least in recent memory. We haven't had this many homicides since the 1990s. Almost 1,000 in 2020 and a little more than 1,000 this year, this past year, 2021. I think it was 1,009 in Cook County in 2021 and 985 in 2020. So we've got some tremendous challenges around the violence. And I think what's different in this moment is that communities which in the past might have been spared these episodes are now experiencing them as well. So carjackings are taking place all over the city, and we see drive-by shootings in many more places than we have in the past. And that, of course, brings the issue home to communities that have not been troubled by it in the past. So I know that there's tremendous interest in this subject matter, and I'm grateful to, again, Commissioner Lowry, Commissioner Deer, and Commissioner Moore for giving us an opportunity to share with the public not only our view of what's happening, but what we're doing.
I got to tell you something, and then I have a question for Commissioner Lowry. And Commissioner Lowry, normally the way you have come to, you'll appreciate this. Madam President, normally you leave the program with homework assignments. And I don't know that you recognize that I've completed my assignment. And that is, several months ago, we were looking for a young woman to intern and be with us on the air. In fact, first we said young intern, and you said, I think, Reverend, you ought to get a young woman, a young lady. Let me introduce to you the newest MCP media intern. We're calling her Jazzy. It's Jasmine Benjamin.
Madam President, I am still learning.
There we go.
Just felt the need to share that with you as I remind our listening and viewing audience that Commissioner Lowry's talking about you bearing witness to this hearing on January 19th. That's Wednesday, January 19th, virtual, 10 o'clock in the morning, streaming. And we're posting the streaming link on all MCP media pages. Commissioner, here's my question. All of these increases in crime reflect to a large degree the absence of hope. And I respect the collaborative effort of the departments that impact crime. How do we increase the hope quotient that we might lessen the crime statistics?
Well, Reverend Johnson, that is the question, and it's a wonderful question. Let me also, though, first say to Jazzy, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I'm glad to have you in this space as well. But at the outset of my remarks, I talked about the two. We have two different paths. So we're talking today, and the resolution touches this. It's the short term path. It's how do we triage the situation? But there has to be a longer term path as well. And we know a lot of this. We've talked about a lot of this. But we need economic equity in all of our communities, and we need economic equity and opportunities in the Black community. We need to make sure we have expansive health care available in our community, and I'm talking about mental health care as well. You know, as we speak right now, Reverend, 48% of the detainees at Cook County Jail have been determined to have a mental health concern. That suggests that we need to make sure we're resourcing mental health opportunities and treatment on the inside, but also on the outside in our communities. We need to be creative relative to our educational opportunities for our youth. College-bound tracks are fine, but we also need to invest and make sure that our youth have the ability to learn a trade and to become an apprentice. There are different ways for individuals to provide for themselves and for their families, and we have to continue our criminal justice reform measures and our restorative justice efforts. You know, a year from now, literally a year from now, next January, we're going to do away with the cash bond. And this is one of the provisions of the Pretrial Fairness Act. Well, we have to make sure when that happens, we are ready and resourced to make sure that those who are charged with crimes are allowed and given the ability to turn lives around if, in fact, they committed a crime. You know, our returning citizens, they need housing. They need transportation. They need jobs. We've got to talk about this in a way maybe we haven't before. We've got to listen in a way that maybe we haven't before. You know, President Preckwinkle and I, we talk about the import of us finding ways to hear from those who have been charged or to hear from those who have been found guilty of crimes. They've got to be a part of this conversation if we're serious about changing the way things are going on a daily basis now.
If I did not know any better, I would think that Commissioner Lowry has had off-the-line conversations, not only with my youngest daughter, who literally told me last night, "Dad, you got to listen a bit more and talk a bit less." But also with Jazzy, who on this morning said, "Rev, we got to talk about this violence."
We sure do.
And here he is. So bless your heart, man. We are always amazed and encouraged by your passion and your command of the subject matter. As you were talking, and you just wouldn't stop. It is a Sunday morning, and you were on a rift. But I didn't want to interrupt you. And I thought, this is why President Preckwinkle brought her crew on today. She brought the heavy hitters.
Listen, I am grateful to Commissioner Lowry for joining us. And I'm grateful to all of our commissioners because, kind of a follow-on, a point that he made, we approved at the board meeting on Thursday allocations for our American Rescue Plan Act dollars. And we're going to be investing $100 million in community and economic development, $60 million to improve health care access, and $60 million around justice and equity initiatives. So we're about to make considerable investments this year in those areas in ways that we hope will be impactful in the medium and long term. As Commissioner Lowry says, we've got to do some short-term triage to try to figure out how we're going to address issues like carjackings and shootings and murders. But over the longer term, I think all of us would agree that we've got to invest in communities that have suffered historic disinvestment and marginalization if we're going to make a real impact. So,
I've said this before, I'll say it again. Your equity-focused governance is catching on around the country, and it's one of the reasons that MCP Media co-hosts around the country continue to bestow accolades on your administration. And Commissioner Lowry is one of the commissioners that we reference with regularity on their compassion, commitment, and clearly they have great leadership and are wonderful leaders in this space. So that's good news.
Thank you.
I am very grateful to Commissioner for joining us.
Commissioner,
Madam President, thank you for your leadership.
Well, we are going to join you in applauding that statement. However, Commissioner Lowry, you know I'm going to say this, right? You're going to join us again on the air, right?
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to it. Good morning or nighttime.
You're listening to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell L. E. Kenna Johnson.
And I am your co-host, Jazzy. And we'll be right back after these short announcements.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Hi, I'm Fritz Kagi, your Cook County Assessor, here with the Assessor's Assessment. I want to talk to you about why property taxes are so high and what to do about them. Under previous assessors, Black communities have historically paid more than their fair share of property taxes. Past underassessment of large commercial properties downtown was part of the problem. As assessor, I'm proud to say I'm fixing this by making all property assessments more fair and accurate so homeowners don't pay more than they should. But the work is not done. A lack of state funding for our public schools also keeps local taxes too high. This is not a new issue. It was so important to civil rights and labor leader A. Philip Randolph that he included it in his speech at the March on Washington in 1963. We also need 21st century revenue streams that don't put the burden on homeowners and small businesses. These are things I'm fighting for as your Cook County Assessor. I'm Fritz Kagi, and this has been the Assessor's Assessment. Thanks for listening.
Paid for by Friends Fritz.
YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill open positions in their South Suburban location. No experience required. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT 820, where facts matter.
Welcome back to my Community Health Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell F. Buchanan Johnson.
And I am your co-host, Jazzy.
Welcome back to the program, Madam President.
Welcome back. Madam President.
Well, I'm grateful. Yes.
Well, yes. I would like to talk about Invest in Cook. So, which of your crew members do you have with you?
We have, for the first time in the county's history, a woman who heads up our Department of Transportation and Highways. Her name is Sis Killen, and Jennifer, everyone calls her Sis. And so she's head of our Department of Transportation and Highways. I'm going to give her an opportunity to talk about Invest in Cook. It's an opportunity for us to bring forward the best proposals for investing in infrastructure, and it's not just roads and bridges. It's pedestrian walkways, it's bike trails, it's freight, it's public transit. And I want to give her an opportunity to talk about this program and the ways in which municipalities can apply for funds and the kinds of things we support. And I hope she's with us.
Thank you, Madam President, and good morning, Reverend Johnson and Jasmine. My name is Sis Killen, and as Madam President stated, I am the first female superintendent for the county's Department of Transportation and Highways, and I was the first in the department's 108-year history.
Congratulations, and welcome aboard.
Well, thank you. And as we speak more about historic operations, the Invest in Cook program is another one of those. Under Madam President's leadership, Connecting Cook County, that was our first long-range transportation plan in over 75 years, we created this initiative, Invest in Cook. So the first of its kind where the county explored beyond the assets it was responsible for, beyond the roads, beyond the bridges, keeping that narrow focus. And Madam President said, if we want to look at transportation, we need to sit back and look at it more holistically. We need to think about not only what is on our jurisdiction, things that we're responsible for, but let's look at the transportation network in whole. Let's look at all of the transportation assets in communities. Let's look at their streets that need resurfacing. Let's look at where there might be sidewalks or bike paths that need to be installed. And when we think about sidewalks and bike facilities, it's something that historically was thought of being ancillary, you know, in this industry, but we recognize it as being so integral. We need to have sidewalks to provide connections to bus stops. We need sidewalks to provide connections to schools. We need sidewalks to provide connections to open spaces in our communities that help them stay healthy and vibrant. As we think about broadening out from just roads and bridges, we, Madam President mentioned, we started looking at areas like freight and transit, things we weren't involved in before because we recognize the importance to communities. We recognize that trucks, while they can be seen as a burden, they're really providing the economic activity that makes our region thrive. And as we're looking at ways for the county to participate in transit, we think about, we call them first mile, last mile connections, meaning you need to get to that bus route somehow. You need to get to that bus station or train station somehow. And how could the county meaningfully participate in these activities and understand that our communities can't carry this burden alone. So that really was her vision and impetus for the Invest in Cook grant program that I'm very happy to be here with you today to talk about. We just launched our sixth call for projects this past Wednesday. They opened up on January 12th. We keep the application period open for about 2 months. So we're going to be closing that application period on March 16th at 5 p.m. And what we're doing is putting out an all call. We're grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you here about it today. Who can apply, right? That's the main question. You can be a local government, municipality, community, city, regional transportation authorities, transit agencies. So we have seen applications from PACE, from METRA, from CTA, natural resource or public land agencies. The only thing that we do ask for is that if you are a non-for-profit entity or a private for-profit entity, you need to partner up with a public sponsor so we can make sure that we're meeting the criteria of the program and that we have a local entity that can be our partner for the implementation of these projects. What's unique about this program is that we're looking at projects across all different what we call phases. First, we need to identify there's a need for the project, so a planning realm. Then we need to firm up the project a little bit more, saying we've got this idea, but what exactly do we need? What exactly do we need to design for it? So we call that planning or engineering studies. Then we also need to fund the construction. So each is equally important. So I always say it's not just about getting out and turning dirt and building the project. While that's really important, funding these early phases, and this is what Madam President recognized was so important. As we fund these early phases of community priority transportation projects, we're setting them up for follow-on funding. They now would become eligible to receive funding from the state, from the federal government, from other discretionary grant programs that allow their projects to get into what is typically the more costly phase, and that's construction. So what we're doing is we're trying to bring together, you know, the county's resources, financial resources. We are availing ourselves of our technical expertise, you know, for communities who might not have the resources to pull everything together on their own. We want to sit at the table with them and help them identify what would be a great project for you to submit for Invest in Cook. What's going to stand up tall against the criteria that we've established? And we're going to help communities walk through their myriad of needs and say, here's what we think this program, this $8.5 million grant program, is going to be best suited for. Year over year, we make about 30 to 34 awards. And to date, we have made an impressive 162 grant awards, totaling up to $39.4 million. And while $39.4 million may not sound like that much, it's the follow-on funding that we're most impressed with. We have been able to receive a three to one return on our investment. That's one that I'm going to put my nickel behind.
That's excellent. That's good stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Chris. As you can see, she's an enthusiastic supporter of our infrastructure investments. And this is an opportunity for government leaders, for not-for-profit leaders, to kind of combine their efforts, partner up, to improve, as I said, not just investments in roads and bridges, but public transit and bikeways and pedestrian amenities. All those things are open for Cook County investment. So I'm really grateful to Sis Killen and her team for the good work that they've done.
Sis Killen, we are absolutely overjoyed. Welcome to the team. We're overjoyed with this initiative and your enthusiasm and passion for this work that just kind of oozes out of your voice. Madam President, we'll tell you that I have a pet peeve. That peeve is as I see low and moderate income people catching PACE buses, standing outside with no cover, standing at bus stops that are undeveloped, which means no sidewalk, no bus shelters, just subject to the elements. I just have a challenge with that. And it looks like we might have an answer to that challenge. And so I want to thank Madam President for bringing on board folks just like you. So you can help me not bother her too much.
let me say thank you. Thank you very much. And we would welcome those proposals. Let me just say we have invested considerably in public transit and PACE. We have partnerships with PACE and Metra. As you probably know, and I've said it on this program before, we, the county, are subsidizing PACE to increase service on their Halsted route, which is their most heavily used route, to increase the frequency of the buses and serve our constituents, our residents. We truly need to look at investments in bus shelters, but we've dramatically increased since January of last year the frequency of the buses, which should reduce the time that people are out in the element. I know that would be helpful to people, but I know you've got some particular sites in mind, so we look forward to that. Reverend Johnson.
Absolutely. One other thing I have in mind for the superintendent in the form of a question, I noticed that you're also providing technical training and grant writing expertise assistance through workshops. Do you have any dates for these workshops thus far?
Thank you very much for that question. We are hosting a workshop, so it's going to be a virtual workshop, and it's going to be held on Wednesday, January 26th, between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. We do have a link to register for that workshop on our website, and that is investincook.cc@cookcountyil.gov. That workshop will be recorded, so should we have members of our community or unincorporated areas, township districts that are unable to attend at that time, that will be recorded so that all have the benefit of understanding how we work through the project application. And that also gives them an opportunity to engage with our team members if they need assistance in finding that good fit, that potential project, or some aid in navigating some of the requirements of an application. We've made sure that we didn't make it very complicated. If we're trying to put out grant monies to help communities that may be strapped financially or may not have the resources, we want this to be a very simple, streamlined application so that you don't need to hire someone to fill it out. That defeats the whole purpose of the aid and the assistance and really the partnership that we're trying to achieve.
Well, I'll tell you what, I want to repeat that website again. It's investincook.cc@cookcountyil.gov. I got to tell you, Sis Killen, Madam Superintendent, that normally we have an engineer in studio who posts these hyperlinks in real time on all MCP media platforms. But I dare say that our young intern is still learning. And I noticed, Madam President, that when we came back from the first break, she quickly told you, "I'm still learning," in response to my statement of, "Why aren't you posting this right now?" But it will be posted by the end of the afternoon, she assures me. So thank you very much, Madam Superintendent. And thank you for that appropriate, timely response to my question. It's one thing to make opportunities available. It's a better thing to teach people how to take advantage of what's right in front of them. So we absolutely appreciate the president bringing you on board the program today. At this time, we have to remind our listening and viewing audience, this is the My Community Plan Foundation Hour on WCPT 820 AM with Facts Matter. We'll be right back after this short station break.
Hi, I'm Fritz Kagi, and I'm your Cook County Assessor, here with the Assessor's Assessment. Since becoming assessor in 2018, I've worked hard to make the assessor's office more fair, ethical, and accessible. On day one, I signed an ethics order that included a ban on nepotism in our office and put a stop to the culture of pay-to-play that hurt the fairness of our tax assessment system before my administration began. We also completely overhauled the property appeal system, so now you can apply for your appeal online without having to visit our office downtown. We made sure senior exemptions automatically renewed so our grandparents and neighbors automatically get the property tax savings they deserve. We've won awards for better customer service, and government watchdog organizations say our assessments are more accurate and equitable than ever before. What does that mean for you? It means you only pay your fair share in property taxes and not a penny more. This has been the Assessor's Assessment. Thanks for listening.
Paid for by Friends Fritz.
Are you looking for a new career? YWCA Metropolitan Chicago has partnered with a global manufacturing company seeking to fill several roles in their South Suburban location. No experience required. They're seeking to fill the following positions: assembly operator, automation technician, molding operator, quality inspector, setup technician, forklift driver, cycle counter, material handler. If interested, contact 773-902-8989. Email cvcf@ywcachicago.org.
It all starts with one meal, one cup of fresh water, one generous person. Sakat Foundation of America puts humanity above all else, working to help as many people as possible with food security, emergency relief, education, and much more. From Chicago to Bridgeview, California to New York, Cambodia to Colombia, Sakat Foundation of America has been on the ground for nearly 20 years to provide immediate and sustainable aid so people in need can become self-reliant. Visit Zakat.org for more information. That's ZAKAT.org.
Because facts matter. You are listening to WCPT 820.
Welcome back to the My Community Plan Foundation Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Mitchell Ellie Kenneth Johnson.
And I am your co-host, Jazzy. Madam President, so I have another question for you.
All right, Jasmine.
So we are moving over to segment 3, and I was wondering, can you refer me to a book or an article that may help my colleagues and I if we are considering a career in public service?
So you want her to answer that now or give us some thought?
Yeah, let's give it some thought.
That'd be your homework assignment.
I think I better take that as homework. Let me take a minute here. You know, we began by talking about public safety, which I think is foremost in everyone's mind in this moment. And then we talked a little bit about transit, transportation and transit and infrastructure. And I wanted to conclude today by talking about employment, about jobs. And we have one of our team members, Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership, is the county and city entity that focuses on helping employers find qualified candidates and folks who are looking for employment or advancement find jobs. And we have a representative here from the National ABLE organization, National ABLE Network, to talk a little bit about the work that that organization does. I think it's Bridget Altenberg. And I would ask, if Bridget is with us, for her to say a few words.
Thank you, Madam President, and good morning, Reverend and Jazzy. Can you guys hear me okay?
Good morning.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really always grateful to have an opportunity to talk about our workforce system and American Job Centers, because I think a lot of people don't even know that these resources exist and that they are no cost. And it's a great resources for both employers that are trying to navigate a volatile job market and also for people that are ready for something new. And so I'm happy to talk a little bit about what the workforce system is, what the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership does, and how we can help both employers and job seekers.
Good. Well, let's hear it.
Excellent. So wonderful. So American Job Centers and workforce programs are programs that exist in every community. There's 10 entities here in Chicago Cook, 5 in the city, 5 in suburban Cook County. We run the largest workforce center in the Pilsen community and the one in Chicago Heights as well. And, these are great resources. You can come in, you can call, you can use the website, get access to free job search support. A lot of people that are in job search just don't know how to do job search right. And so there's some tools and tips to help you get your job search on track. Some people are looking to career change, and so they may need to go out and get a credential or get access to a new network of employers that they don't already have. And so they can get those resources as well. We have coaches that are do a wonderful job of helping people get on track, get on the right path, and connect them to employment. And then for our employers, same thing. They can come in, they can call, they can use the website and get access to candidates. They can work with us on hiring events. And all these resources, again, are at no cost.
Bridget, does ABLE help with resume writing and helping people find the industry that work for them?
Yes, absolutely, Jazzy. Thanks for asking that question.
Of course.
A lot of people, when they come in, there's all of these tools now, online tools called applicant tracking systems. Okay. And if you're not familiar with how they work, your resume can really hold you up in the job search because you'll upload your resume to this applicant tracking system, and there's a little machine that decides whether you go in front of a human being or not. And so one of the things that we do is really work hard with our candidates to make sure that they're not getting stuck in that do loop of just keep getting rejected because the resume has some kind of formatting error or isn't tailored to the job, and make sure that they're getting in front of a human being.
Wow, that's a really important question, Jasmine. So this applicant tracking system, it sounds like it may be created to streamline the process, but it really could be an impediment to success.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We saw after the Great Recession a huge rise in applicant tracking systems because employers were getting way more applicants than they could handle, and obviously a lot of companies were cutting at the time. A lot of people were trying to find jobs, and so there was a massive investment. We're now up to about 95% of companies use applicant tracking systems, and it probably does make things more efficient for them, but it does make it harder for people that don't know how to navigate that system. And so we have things that we do to, you know, we have a sort of standard resume. We tell people, you know, this is not the time to be too creative. Use the standard resume format. And another thing that we do is we help connect them directly to employers, sort of getting around the applicant tracking system and handing them off to a real human being through our employer relationships.
So I'm noticing in my notes two things that I just got to talk about. One, I know that Maureen Mo Forte, who works with reentry individuals, will be pleased when she sees on our site we are reposting one of your links that specifically allows for reentry navigation for formerly incarcerated residents. That is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. We love working with our partners that focus on that population and can be really setting people that are working on reentry up for success, making sure that you're handing them off to employers that are going to do the right thing, and making sure that they, you know, have all the right tools to reenter society. Absolutely agree.
And then I'm also noticing that you have a similar program, separate and distinct, specifically targeting Young Adults Opportunity Works.
Absolutely. So, again, this is a population that, you know, one of the things I think we pride ourselves on with National ABLE Network and the Chicago Cook Workforce Partnership is making sure that there are some tools that are the same regardless of where you're coming from. Everyone needs a resume. Everyone needs this. But there are unique needs that different groups have. Youth have a different challenge than people that are reentering society, than veterans. And so we really try to meet our customers where they are and figure out what their unique needs are and then support them however they need to get back into the workforce.
Now, I'm noticing that you also pave internships through high growth sector industries. So I've got to ask the question. This is a shameless plug for MCP. Might we find some paid interns for some of the projects we're working on?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So we have wonderful paid work experience for youth, for people that are doing career changes, and also for seniors. A lot of times we find our low-income seniors are really struggling to get back in the workforce. People discriminate against older workers quite a bit. And so we have an opportunity to pay them to work at public service or nonprofits in Cook County. And that's great because it helps the nonprofit, the public service, to create more sustainability without having to take on the burden of additional wages. And so it's great for both groups.
You know what, Bridget? I'll definitely be calling you.
You should have my number and email. I would absolutely love to help you with that.
Oh, that's...
Thank you so much.
And the irony is, it sounds like that kind of opportunity, and I certainly know that even though the station is having challenges with its Facebook page, ours is working just fine. And when you go on the page today, this is a segment that you should be considering looking at, because quite a few not-for-profits and, unfortunately, for-profit entities, I'm thinking about Wings and Things, Tina Jackson. Tina, this is your opportunity to find help with your new staff. We're certainly going to, or at least Jazzy is going to be calling Bridget, so I think you should too. All the information here will be posted on our MCP media sites. Madam President, there is something going on January 26th.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Bridget. I'm very grateful to her for coming on today, as well as Sis Killen and Commissioner Lowry. They, however, are county employees, so rousing them to be on a program at 7 o'clock in the morning is a little easier than folks who are outside my sphere of influence.
It's okay, Madam President. I was in the Army, so this is like new for us.
All right. Bless you. Bless you. Well, there are a couple of things that I want to just follow up on. Speaking of the Army, the National Able Network has services for veterans. You can connect to job search resources and find your dream career. Every Wednesday, is that right, Bridget, from 10 to 11, there's an orientation for veterans?
That's correct, ma'am.
All right, so 10 to 11 every Wednesday morning, and the number to call is 312-994-8308, 312-994-8308, veteransforward.org/calendar, veteransforward.org/calendar. So there's an opportunity there for our veterans, for which I'm really grateful. This is a community that we need to support in every way we can. And I also want to call out another organization that is in our community, and that's St. Paul's Community Development Ministries at 45th and Wabash in the city of Chicago. They have a pre-employment, pre-apprenticeship training program, and that orientation and pre-testing starts in January of this year. This is for people 18 years and older. You need a birth certificate, a valid driver's license, a high school diploma, or GED. You have to pass a drug test.
And, Madam President, I hate to interrupt you, but that music in the background tells me we've got about 34 seconds to get off the air. But I do want to thank you for joining us today for the information. There will be posting of all of this information on all MCP media outlets. This is the My Community Foundation Hour, and we want to thank Cook County Board President and her crew. That's Tony Peckwinkle. The crew was doing good work just for you. We'll see you next week. Have a super fantastic and grateful weekend.
And that concludes CP Show.
Amen.